Today's forum will be a debate between the two Democratic candidates to win their party's nomination for the office of Attorney General of Oregon, John Kroger and Greg McPherson. Because these are the only two candidates who have filed for this office, absent divine or other intervention, one of these two people will end up being our next Attorney General. We are very pleased that today's debate will be moderated by Dr. Lee Pelton, who's president of Willamette University. Dr. Pelton is a grandson of sharecroppers who earned his undergraduate degree from Wichita State and his doctorate from Harvard. Dr. Pelton served as dean at Colgate University, Dartmouth College, and Harvard. Dr. Pelton was appointed Willamette University's 22nd president in 1998 and is a nationally recognized leader in higher education. Dr. Pelton will introduce our debaters and explain the rules of procedure for the debate. Before turning the mic over to them, I simply want to remind everyone here that by means of these debates, City Club strives to facilitate open and spirited discussion of important public issues between candidates with different views and perspectives. So as such, it's important that we all remember that we honor our guests and our process when we remain courteous to all of our debaters and respect all the differing views expressed during the debates. Dr. Pelton?
Thank you. Thank you so much, and thank you for the opportunity to be here today. This debate will have several sections. First, each candidate will give a 3-minute opening statement. A coin toss determined the order of appearance in this debate. And our timekeeper today is John Horvick. Following the opening statements, candidates will respond to questions suggested in advance of this meeting by City Club members and the general public. A subcommittee of the City Club's Friday Forum Committee composed the final set of questions. These are the only questions which will be asked today, and there will be no questions from the floor. We will rely on the judgment of our distinguished panel of City Club members seated here to the side in front of me to decide whether or not the questions have indeed been answered by the candidates. If two or more of these members raise their cards indicating that they feel a question has not been answered, I will restate the question and ask the candidate to reply again. And our distinguished panel includes Heather Kmitz, Stephen Putt, and Marge Kafoury. Following the City Club's questions, each candidate will have the opportunity to ask 3 questions of the other. And following the rotation of candidate questions, each candidate will then make a 3-minute closing statement. And I ask that you would please be respectful of the candidates and hold all applause until the end of the program. Now it is my great pleasure to introduce our 2 candidates to you. Greg McPherson graduated from Harvard College and earned a law degree from Georgetown Law School. He is a 3-term state representative from Oregon's House District 38. A Democrat, Mr. McPherson was first elected to the Oregon House in 2002 and is currently chair of the House Judiciary Committee. In addition to serving in the legislature, Mr. McPherson spent 30 years as an employee benefits attorney and has been recognized for excellence in the best lawyers in America and in Oregon super lawyers. Mr. McPherson has also served as chair of the Multnomah County Planning Commission, as a trustee for the Trillium Family Services, a nonprofit organization operating facilities across Oregon for mentally ill youth, and as a board member and president of the 40 Mile Loop Land Trust. Mr. McPherson has also coached youth soccer and basketball and volunteers at a legal aid clinic. John Kroger. John Kroger served in the United States Marine Corps for 3 years prior to attending Yale. He graduated from Yale and then went on to Harvard University Law School. Mr. Kroger was Deputy Policy Director of Bill Clinton's 1992 presidential campaign, a legislative assistant to the Speaker of House, Thomas Foley, and to then Congressman and now Senator Chuck Schumer of New York. He was also a senior policy analyst at the U.S. Treasury Department. He clerked for the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third District and then served as a federal prosecutor. In 1999, he received the Director's Award for Outstanding Performance as an Assistant U.S. Attorney from Attorney General Janet Reno. From 2002 to 2008, Mr. Kroger served as a prosecutor on the U.S. Justice Department's Enron Task Force. And since 2002, he's also taught criminal law and legal philosophy at Portland's Lewis and Clark Law School. Mr. Kroger also served as chair of the Democratic Party of the Oregon Finance Committee and as a precinct committee person. I would now like to ask the two candidates please come forward and take their podiums. So thank you, gentlemen. Mr. McPherson, would you please begin with your opening statement?
To thank the City Club for sponsoring this debate and everyone for taking time out of their day to come listen. And I also want to thank John for his participation. Over the last few months, we've had a number of debates and joint appearances. It almost feels like we're running for president. But we're not. We're running for Attorney General of Oregon. And what this race really comes down to are differences in how we define the job and who is best qualified to do the job. I believe that the Attorney General should be Oregon's chief advocate, someone who protects Oregonians from crime and consumer fraud, protects our natural environment from overdevelopment, and protects our civil rights. And I believe that to do that job well, you need to know the state and to understand its people. Most important, you need to have a proven track record of advocacy for Oregonians, a proven track record of protecting Oregonians. I'm the only candidate for Attorney General who has that record. I've passed laws cracking down on meth labs, internet sex predators, and identity thieves, protecting people from crime and consumer fraud. I helped write and pass ballot measure 49 to protect our farmlands and natural places from overdevelopment. I fought for landmark laws guaranteeing equal rights to all citizens, and I stood up to extremists who tried to take away a woman's right to choose. I'm the only candidate for Attorney General who can say that. In his campaign, John Kroger talks a lot about his record in the courtroom. He clearly has a distinguished record prosecuting New York mobsters. If this election were of a chief prosecutor of New York mobsters, I'd vote for him. But it's not. That's not what the job is, and it's not what we need. On his website, John says this, quote, "If anyone threatens the rights of Oregonians, I won't send a deputy to argue the case. I will go to court myself," end quote. John, someone threatens the rights of Oregonians every day. If you're being honest in when you make that promise, you'll be in court every day. But an attorney general who's spending every day in court is not doing the job of the attorney general. The attorney general should be a leader and a visionary. He should establish priorities and work with the legislature to get the funding necessary to carry the job out. He should crack down on new crimes like identity theft and internet fraud and develop new and more effective strategies for fighting meth. He should challenge the federal government when they try to interfere with things like adopting new tailpipe emission standards for autos here. And he should make sure that Oregon's laws protecting us from crime, pollution, and fraud are enforced. Our next Attorney General should understand the job, and he should know how to protect Oregon, and he should have a track record of doing so. Over the next hour, I'll lay out why I have the qualifications, the only candidate with the qualifications to do this job. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kroger, your opening statement, please.
Thank you very much. Hi, everybody. My name is John Kroger. As many of you know, I'm a law professor at Lewis and Clark Law School, But before I became a law professor, I spent my whole career in public service. I was a United States Marine, served as a public policy advisor to Bill Clinton and Al Gore, and worked as a federal prosecutor. As a federal prosecutor, I represented the United States in court over 1,000 times. I convicted mafia killers, drug kingpins, corrupt government officials. I worked on the emergency legal team that was convened after the 9/11 terror attack. And I prosecuted a crooked little company, you may recall, named Enron. So I'm coming to the Attorney General's race with two important qualifications: extensive experience in the courtroom at both the trial and appellate level, and a deep background in public safety. I've got five main priorities for this office. We'll probably talk about all of them over the course of the next hour, but I want to talk about one first. It's the highest priority I've got, and that's to do a better job of tackling Oregon's methamphetamine problem. I'll tell you why I care so much about meth. Meth is the number one cause of property crime in our state. Even more important, it is the single largest cause of child abuse. And we recently got a child welfare report card for our state, and our grade was a D. Now, how can the Attorney General help tackle the meth problem? I think there's two things we need to do. Part of the answer is better enforcement. The Attorney General supervises an organized crime section. I'm going to take that section, we're going to revitalize it, we're going to go after some of the big drug trafficking organizations that bring most of our meth in from Mexico. The truth of the matter is, though, we are never going to solve Oregon's meth crisis and all the child abuse and property crimes it causes with more jail cells. The reason we have a meth problem worse than California, worse than Washington, is very easy to describe. We have one of the worst drug treatment systems in the whole country. As Attorney General, I'm not just going to work on better enforcement. I'm going to fight every day to help design and put into place a first-rate drug treatment system for our state. That will not be easy, but if we succeed, it'll have two important results. One is that we'll actually bring down the crime rate. We'll have less property crime, we'll have less child abuse. And second, we'll save money, because for every dollar you put into drug treatment and prevention, you save almost $7 in other parts of the state budget on health care costs, on prison costs, on enforcement costs. This is a big challenge, but it's something we can do, something we have to do. I'm running to help bring that change to our state, and I'd appreciate your support. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Kroger. We will now move to the portion of the program where I will ask the questions prepared in advance by City Club members and the general public. The candidate to whom the question is directed will have 60 seconds to respond to that question. Following each answer, the opposing candidate will have the option of a 45-second rebuttal. The candidates have not seen these questions in advance. And we will commence with you, Mr. Kroger. As we have just heard, you have a reputation for being a tough prosecutor, and your campaign statements seem to indicate that you see the Attorney General's primary responsibility to be law enforcement. And that is, you have promised to fight the methamphetamine-related crimes, protect Oregon's children, and punish environmental polluters. Given the reality of budgetary constraints, can the Department of Justice, in your opinion, realistically pursue such law enforcement vigorously while also providing high-quality legal services to the state's agencies?
Well, that's a fantastic question. Here's one of my priorities. We need to do a better job of protecting the environment. Business Week magazine just ran a story in fall labeling Portland the third most toxic city in America. Worse than Detroit, worse than Los Angeles. Now, the reason we're in that position is very simple. We put good environmental laws on the books, we do a poor job of enforcing them. One of the reasons why, at the Oregon Department of Justice and in the 36 district attorney's offices, we don't have a single full-time environmental crimes prosecutor. So one thing I propose is putting one or two full-time prosecutors on the staff of the Oregon Department of Justice to handle important environmental crimes cases all over the state. This is very important. The budgetary impact, $300,000 or $400,000 a year. In other words, it's a tiny percentage of the $370 million Oregon Department of Justice budget, but it will have a huge impact on our state.
Our distinguished panel would please ask that you respond to this question again. Let me restate it.
Sure. Let me, oh, I'm sorry, go right ahead.
Let me restate the relevant portion of it. Given the reality of budgetary constraints, can the Department of Justice realistically pursue law enforcement that you outlined vigorously, while also providing high-quality legal services to the state's agencies?
Yes. And the reason I say yes is because the things I'm talking about are things which don't cost a huge amount of money. Drug treatment, that costs money, and we should talk about that. But putting one or two environmental crimes prosecutors on the staff of the department costs a tiny percentage of the budget. Does Oregon have $400,000 to make sure we correctly defend and protect the environment? You betcha. You betcha we do. Take mortgage fraud, for example. The Oregonian ran a story yesterday. It's really important. I hope people saw it. Cheats and tricks. Chase mortgage memo shows a mentality that spawned a mess. Huge mortgage fraud problem. How many mortgage fraud experts do we have at the Oregon Department of Justice? The answer is zero. How much would it cost to put one on the staff of the Oregon Department of Justice? $200,000. Do we have $200,000? Yes.
Mr. McPherson.
Thank you. I do want to comment on that. Criminal justice is one thing the Department of Justice does in assisting our local district attorneys, but it is not its principal mission. So the thrust of the question is that there are a whole lot of other things, consumer protection, environmental enforcement, civil liberties defense, all these things are jobs for the Department of Justice. I think there's an attempt here to try to cast the job around one's own experience, which is maybe a laudable experience, but it's not what this job is all about. It is not principally a criminal justice job. It is a job of being the chief legal advocate for all Oregonians, standing up for their important interests, whether they're consumer interests, environmental interests, civil liberties interests. That's the background that I have, in addition to being a major policy shaper and maker in my legislative service.
Thank you. Mr. McPherson, the next question is to you. How would you compare what you hope to accomplish as Attorney General with what the current Attorney General, Hardy Myers, has accomplished or failed to accomplish? On which policies, positions, or opinions of the current Attorney General do you differ?
Well, first let me say, Hardy Myers has been a distinguished Attorney General. He's a man of considerable skill and integrity, and I'm proud to have his endorsement to be the next Attorney General. But the nature of the threats facing Oregonians have changed since he took office a dozen years ago. At that time, the internet was in its infancy. What we need is a strong and very robust response to new threats that are coming at Oregonians, particularly over the internet. And I've done work on that in my legislative service creating a crime solicit underage teens for sex over the internet. That's a new crime that we identified last session that I sponsored the bill. And I also created a crime of aggravated identity theft. So I've done work in this area, and I will build on that foundation as Attorney General amplify on what Hardy Myers has done. But he dealt with the challenges that faced the state at that time. I will deal with the challenges that face the state today.
Hardy Myers has been a great public servant, and the state owes him a debt of gratitude for all his years of work. I conceive of the office of Attorney General as differing in certain ways. I think two different things that I will emphasize. One is more aggressive enforcement of consumer laws and environmental protection laws in the courtroom. And second, use of the office's bully pulpit to try to focus public attention and the legislature on big challenges the state faces where we need to do better. That's why I talk so much about the meth problem and the need for a serious drug treatment program. I plan to use the office in that role, to use the bully pulpit to focus attention where it's needed.
The next question is to you, Mr. Kroger. This November, Oregonians will have competing measures on the ballot to increase penalties for property and drug crimes. One, advanced by Republican activist Kevin Mannix, would impose mandatory 3-year prison sentences for first-time drug and property offenders. The other, referred to voters by the legislature, would target repeat criminals while allowing first-time drug offenders to enter drug treatment. Do you favor either measure, and if so, why?
It's a very important question. Kevin Mannix's ballot measure for a 36-month mandatory minimum for a first property crime would be a huge mistake. Part of the problem is cost. It costs $200 million a year. That's money we don't have. That's money that's going to come out of the K-12 and higher education budgets. But the real problem with it isn't the cost. The real problem is that it won't achieve our goals. Our goal is to bring down the crime rate. The way you do that is by targeted enforcement and a solid drug treatment plan. I oppose the Mannix measure. I support the measure that was referred by the legislature. I think it's got some good ideas for enhancing penalties for repeat property crime offenders. I think it's got a good start on drug treatment funding. The truth is, though, we've got a long way to go. We don't just need more funds for drug treatment. We need to reinvent our delivery system to get more help to people before they're in the criminal justice system, not when they're in it.
Mr. McPherson.
Well, I certainly agree with the preference John just expressed for the legislative referral. And I can speak with some credibility because I wrote it along with several others. We did that work. We sent out an alternative to the new son of Measure 11 that Kevin Mannix has brought forward because it's a better way to spend our dollars. We need to be smart on crime, not just tough on crime. This is more of the same old stuff where we try to lock up more people and build more prisons, which is drawing resources away from the other priorities Oregonians have. We learned from the Pew Trust earlier this month that Oregon spends more money as a percentage of its general fund on prisons than any other state, and we are one of only 5 states that spends more on prisons than on higher education. Those are misplaced priorities, and that's why I did that work in the legislature.
Mr. McPherson, many Oregon laws, for example, the 1997 Death with Dignity Act and the 1996 Medical Marijuana Act, just to name just a two, are in conflict with federal law. The question is, what is your stance on the proper relation between state and federal authority with regard to such legislation?
An important role of the Attorney General is to stand up for the policy choices Oregonians have made at the ballot box and through their elected representatives. And I take that responsibility very seriously. I will defend the Death with Dignity Act against the attempt by a federal Bush administration that's trying to shut down the policy choices Oregonians have made. I will defend the Medical Marijuana Act where it is challenged by outsiders. This is a key function of the Attorney General to stand up for Oregonians and the choices that they have made, and I have demonstrated that in my work in the legislature on a range of issues. I draw on a background and history of experience in legislating for Oregon because those are the policy choices. That's where we decide what we as a sovereign state are going to do, and when the federal government tries to push us around, it's the job of the Attorney General to push back, and I will do that.
Mr. Kroger.
Well, the federal government and the state of Oregon are in conflict in a huge range of areas, not just Death with Dignity, but also in environmental policy, where we fundamentally disagree with the approach of the Bush administration. As Attorney General, if there are serious cases involving our environmental laws, woman's right to choose, death with dignity, I'm going to go to court myself and argue those cases. In the Oregon Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, if necessary. That's not just because I'm an experienced advocate and I believe I can do a good job. It's because when the Attorney General himself or herself goes to court, it sends a signal to the judges that the state really cares about these matters. And I'm deeply committed to playing that role, as Dave Frohnmayer did before me.
Thank you. Mr. Kroger, Oregon law prohibits the collection or maintenance of any records by police related to the political, religious, or social views of any person or group in this state, unless suspicion of criminal activity exists. Federal agencies do not have that restriction. Do you think that the Oregon State Police participation in the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force is consistent with Oregon law?
Well, we've pulled out of the Joint Terrorism Task Force, and I want to be frank with you. I opposed that decision. Part of the reason is because I worked after 9/11 on the Joint Terrorism Task Force in New York, and I saw how important it is to have close federal and state coordination when there is an emergency of that nature. It's critical, however, if we ever do rejoin, that we make sure Oregon's laws are followed by Oregon's law enforcement personnel. And so if we do rejoin the Joint Terrorism Task Force, it's absolutely essential that we put our values first and that we don't follow federal law in that area.
Thank you. Mr. McPherson.
Well, there's a risk whenever a dramatic event happens like 9/11 that there's an overreaction, and I think on the area of civil liberties, we saw an overreaction. And as a result, there are policies that were put in place at the federal level, and the state was pressed into making policy choices that I think under sort of more considered view are not the best choice for Oregonians or really necessary for us here. So I would say the whole specter of a war on terrorism is starting to look a little dated as applied to the events on the ground here in Oregon. The issues we have here are issues like a meth epidemic, that which we've had made progress on, but we have got more work to do. Issues like global warming and making sure that our environment is clean. Those are the issues that I think the Attorney General properly focuses his energies on.
Mr. McPherson, in 2005, as a state representative, you voted against Senate Bill 408, which was designed to stop private utilities, including PGE and PacifiCorp, from charging Oregon ratepayers for state and federal taxes that the utilities in turn did not pay. The charge has been made that you voted in concert with the interests of your law firm that represents PacifiCorp. And how would you respond?
I'm pleased to respond to that. Senate Bill 408 was an arm wrestle between two competing business interests, the utilities on one hand and the industrial customers on the other. And in the passage of that bill, the industrial customers won. They pulled it their direction, and they pulled it in a direction that was not in the interest of Oregonians. And so after having voted for an earlier version that I thought was sound in committee, I opposed the bill when it came to a floor vote. But both of those business interests, both utilities and in the industrial customers, are among the clients of my firm. So I was not preferring one over the other. And in my decisions in the Oregon legislature, I decide based on what the policy choices ought to be, not based on any financial interest of me or any client that I've ever worked with. I have a clear, long record of standing up to economic interests in this state, whether they're clients of the law firm or not, on issues like protecting seniors from the variable annuity scams that have been perpetrated on them, which I carried on the floor of the House in this most recent session.
Mr. Kroger.
Well, I think Senate Bill 408 was the most important consumer protection vote that we've had in the state for years. And I disagree with the characterization of it as a battle between big industry and big utilities. I think it was a battle between consumers and big utilities. And had I been in the legislature, I certainly would have voted on behalf of utilities. When I was a prosecutor on the Enron case, I discovered that Enron was legally incorporated in Oregon. Oh, did I say utilities? Well, man, if that isn't ever the world's most interesting slip. Let's restate that. In my last 15 seconds, I would have voted with the consumers. And I'll tell you why. We need real consumer advocates and watchdogs in this state. And that's what I will be.
Thank you. The next question is to you, Mr. Kroger. In 2005, your opponent played a leading role in the legislature on reforming the public employees' retirement system, known as PERS. It was foreseeable that for this action, he would lose the support of the public employee unions in this election, which has indeed happened. Can you describe a similar example from your professional life of having taken an unpopular stance simply because it was the right thing to do?
Boy, that's a great question. I'll tell you, I think I can give you the simplest answer, which is that very often as a federal prosecutor, I chose not to indict and prosecute people for crimes. That included a huge range of cases, both big high-profile cases and cases that were not so high-profile. And I did that because the job of a prosecutor isn't just to win or rack up statistics. The job of a prosecutor is to see that justice is done. And I did that as a prosecutor to the best of my ability. And as Oregon Attorney General, I bring the same approach. Our goal is not just to beat people down. Our goal is to vindicate the public interest and achieve justice. And that is what I will try to do.
Thank you, Mr. McPherson.
The PERS reforms were a really tough issue. Our public employees deserve a secure retirement, but the taxpayers need to be protected from unsustainable costs. And so I rolled up my sleeves and I took that issue on and worked it through to a result that I think was sound for the state, and it preserved a formula pension that our public employees can rely on and can count on a guaranteed income for life, but at the same time it was one that was affordable by all other Oregonians. Now, the job of Attorney General requires making tough decisions, taking on tough projects, and I think it's clear from my work on that issue that I'm willing to step up to the tough work that has to be done in state government. I didn't hear an example on that last response, so I think that the fact is that there's nothing to draw on my opponent's history to show a similar kind of conviction.
Question to you, Mr. McPherson. When Dave Frohnmayer was Oregon's Attorney General, he created a system whereby state agencies, rather than having in-house counsel, had to purchase their legal services from the Department of Justice. Some suggest that the regulatory process in Oregon has been slowed down significantly by the fact that agencies are reluctant to spend their budgets on such legal fees. Do you agree with this assessment, or would you support the present system?
The current model we have for operating the Department of Justice is to charge by the hour for the work that is done for other agencies, and I think that's sound. Having worked for many years delivering legal services to clients where one's accountable for the amount of time spent and one has to send out a bill to reflect it, I think that promotes sound management. The response then is to make sure that we have the right amount in the budget for those client agencies. If, for example, the DEQ is not being given enough money for enforcement, we need to make sure that it has enough money to do the enforcement work for by hiring Department of Justice lawyers to do it. And my role as advocate, as Attorney General, will not stop at advocating for my own Department of Justice budget. It will include advocacy for the budgets of those other agencies that are doing important work for the state. And having long legislative experience, I can go over to the Capitol and speak with great credibility to my former colleagues in the Oregon legislature about the dollars that are necessary to accomplish the policy choices we've made.
Mr. Kroger.
I think the current billing model is a sound model. And I think it makes sense. The challenge we have is that in a normal private practice scenario, if the client doesn't like their attorney or thinks they're charging too much, they go hire a different lawyer. And the state boards and agencies that turn to the Department of Justice for legal counsel don't have that option. We have a monopoly on providing their legal services. And that means we need to make extra certain that we are doing everything we can to provide quality, smart, cost-effective legal counsel. And I think the current model is consistent with that, but we need to do everything we can to make sure we're doing the best by other parts of state government. I would say, however, that my time is up.
Thank you, indeed. During this portion of the program, each candidate will ask three questions of the other. Questions must be asked in 30 seconds. The opposing candidate will have 1 minute to respond, after which the questioner will have the option of a 30-second rebuttal. We will alternate between the candidates, and we will begin with you, Mr. Kroger. Your first question of Mr. McPherson.
Greg, the two public figures in Oregon history that I most admire are Tom McCall and John Kitzhaber. Tom McCall because of his passion for the environment and his ability to use the bully pulpit of the office. John Kitzhaber because he believed more than anyone in the importance of early intervention, treatment and prevention, solving problems before they occur. Wanted to ask you, who are the people you most admire in Oregon public life?
The people I most admire in Oregon public life are, first of all, Mark Hatfield, who was a visionary leader for Oregon over many years and did wonderful things to accomplish a great deal for the state. I also admire Hardy Myers, and I realize that that would not come to most people's minds, sort of a natural selection. But this is a person who has devoted a long career to public service and has absolutely above reproach, a man of tremendous integrity. Nobody would ever find fault with the energy and the judgment and the perspective that Hardy Myers brings to his office. And under his leadership, the Department of Justice has become a very distinguished department. It's one that does excellent work for Oregonians. And as I said earlier, I'm proud to have Hardy Myers' endorsement in this race.
Mr. Kroger, you have the option of a 30-second rebuttal.
That's fine. I don't need a rebuttal. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. McPherson, your first question of Mr. Kroger.
John, can you name one thing you've ever done to protect Oregon from polluters or developers? Now, don't speculate about something you might do in the future. Give us a specific example of something you've actually done.
Well, the truth is, I've devoted my whole career to different forms of public service than environmental protection. I prosecuted Enron, an Oregon corporation. I served my country in the United States Marine Corps. I helped elect Bill Clinton and Al Gore. Here in the state, I've trained a whole generation of young prosecutors and defense attorneys active throughout our courts. And I've worked as the finance chair of the Democratic Party of Oregon, helping to elect good Democrats all across the state. And I'm very proud of my commitment to public service, both what I've done in the state and around the country. The reason I was endorsed by the Sierra Club in this race is because I have a proven track record of going into court and holding powerful interests accountable when they break the law. The reason they endorsed me is because they think, and I agree, that we can do more to protect the environment in our state. I'm deeply committed to doing that. I've got the right experience and the tools to do that. I've got the political will to do that.
Mr. McPherson, you have an option to rebuttal.
The answer I heard was no. There's no specific example, no track record of actually doing something for Oregon's environment. So the question for Oregonians is, should they entrust the protection of their environment to an attorney general who wants to do the right thing for them, but has no record of actually doing it? When the Oregon League of Conservation Voters, the leading political arm of the environmental movement in our state, endorsed me, it was precisely that difference that motivated them. That is, that I have a track record of actually accomplishing things for Oregon's environment, including specifically passing ballot measure 49, the largest environmental issue we had in the state in recent years.
Thank you. Mr. Kroger, your next question of Mr. McPherson.
Greg, I have deep respect and honor for the service that you've provided the state and the legislature. I know that you've cast many, many votes in that role, and I wondered if there are any votes, if you could go back and do them over again, you would change.
Yes, there are probably quite a number, because I have cast hundreds and hundreds of votes. I would say probably the votes that that I would be tempted to vote differently on are the votes that are sort of lacking in substance. For example, we have every session we have a number of bills that come forward to create states this and state that. And I have to confess, when they come before me for a vote, I vote for them because they're kind of nice feel-good exercises, but they are not what the important work is of legislating. It would be tempting, sorely tempting, when if presented with those kinds of votes again, to vote against them because they're kind of a waste of the public time in the Oregon legislature.
Mr. Kroger, you have the option of rebutting.
Just thank you again for your service.
John, one of the Attorney General's jobs is to work closely with the legislature to develop and pass laws that protect Oregonians. Do you have a legislative agenda, and what relationships do you have with the Oregon legislature that would help you pass it?
Well, I do have a legislative agenda. I think that's a very good question. Here's a few things that are on the top of my agenda. First, creating a first-rate drug treatment system for our states. We can lower the crime rate and lower the child abuse rate. Second, I think we need to do more to protect consumers in the state. Right now, we don't have funding for a single mortgage fraud investigator at the Department of Justice for civil or criminal investigations, and I think that needs to change. So I'll be going to the legislature to seek support for that idea. Third, I'd love to see more funding to protect the environment. In the end, I don't think our problem is inadequate resources. I think it's been an adequate political will to hold people accountable when they violate the law. But I think additional resources would be great. As a former legislative aide, I certainly had a lot of experience drafting legislation and helping to get it passed. Ultimately, I don't think it's relationships that are important. I think it's the quality of one's ideas. I think the legislature will support good ideas, and that's what I hope to advance.
Mr. McPherson, an option to rebuttal.
I've spent the last 6 years serving in the Oregon legislature, and it has its own peculiar ways of getting its work done. It does important work, and I have and I've developed a broad range of relationships in that setting so that when we need more resources to fund some new undertaking for the Department of Justice, when we need a policy change that's going to improve the lives of Oregonians, I can go over to the Capitol and I can sit down with those legislators and understand what they're going through and how you try to shape the agenda and move it forward. I think that I have the credentials that make that credible statement.
Mr. Kroger, your next question of Mr. McPherson.
This is a tough one. Greg, if you were Metro President Bragdon, which would you be more excited about, transportation policy or running the zoo?
I'd have to say that the zoo is one of my favorite places, and I would probably be more excited about running the zoo, despite the sort of obvious contrasts that go on between those two responsibilities. So I'll pick the zoo.
Mr. Kroger.
And I'm pleased to end this debate by noting that Greg and I agree on something, and that's it's all about the zoo. Thank you very much.
Please. Both the end and the applause were premature. Mr. McPherson, your final question of Mr. Kroger.
John, I've been very open about the types of clients I've had in my law practice. Can you describe what kinds of legal work you've done since you passed the Oregon bar exam last year? How many clients have you served?
Well, you know, as a lawyer, I never went into private practice. I was never a corporate lawyer. I was a federal prosecutor. I've had one legal client in my entire life, and that was the United States of America. I represented the United States of America in court over 1,000 times, and I am very, very proud to have done so. That is a privilege that if you haven't done it, you probably cannot relate to how moving it is to get up in front of a jury and represent our country. As Greg is not quite artfully referring to, when I decided to run, I took the Oregon bar. When I moved to Oregon, I decided that since I was a law professor and I wasn't practicing, I would not take the bar. And I've taken it, and I'm now licensed to practice law in Oregon, and I'm proud of that fact. I'm proud of my clients that I've represented, the people of the United States, and I think experience representing the United States is a good foundation to represent Oregon.
Mr. McPherson.
Well, I think the answer I heard is that the number of Oregon clients John has served since passing the Oregon bar is zero. In other words, you've never practiced law as an Oregon lawyer. It does seem premature to be running to be the top elected officer, that is lawyer, in the state based on those credentials. And I have a hunch that if the office of Oregon Attorney General had not come open, that you probably wouldn't still be an Oregon lawyer today.
Thanks to both of you. We will now move to the final portion of the program. 3-minute closing statements from each candidate. And we will begin with you, Mr. McPherson.
Thank you to the City Club for inviting John and me today, and thank you for everyone who is listening over OPB. It's been a long time since Oregon has had a seriously contested race for Attorney General, and I think you can see we have one now. Sometimes it's hard to get people to pay attention to the race for Attorney General, especially in a year when there's a presidential campaign and a U.S. Senate campaign going on over the top of us. Who is the Attorney General anyway? Is that the guy who wears a uniform? Here's why it matters. The Attorney General is the one person in Oregon whose responsibility it is to protect Oregonians from all of the legal threats to our personal safety, our financial security, our environmental legacy, and our personal freedoms. Violent criminals, corporate polluters, internet predators, deadbeat parents, religious zealots, financial scam artists. Only the Attorney General has to deal with them all, using all the tools available and creating new tools when the need arises. Only the Attorney General needs to have the experience of dealing with them all and the leadership skills to tackle them all. And I'm the only candidate who has that experience and those skills. Now, John Kroger, as you can tell, is a smart and thoughtful man. He's passionate and he's articulate. It's clear why he was a good prosecutor and why he's a good law professor. He's just not the right person to be Attorney General. For the most part, we have few differences on big issues. But if you think back on this debate, there was one fundamental difference between us. Whenever John talked about an issue facing Oregon, he talked about what he hoped to do in the future on meth, on child support, on the environment, on civil liberties. Not once did he say, here's what I've done to help Oregonians. Not once did he say, here's what I did to protect Oregonians. That's because he can't. There's a reason that most of John's campaign contributions come from New York and Texas. It's because that's where they know him best. And there's a reason why 98% of my campaign contributions come from Oregonians. It's because they're the people who know me, and because I have a lifetime of experience in Oregon. I'm the only candidate with a record of protecting Oregonians from crime and consumer fraud. And that's why Governor Kulongoski, Attorney General Hardy Myers, and former Governor Barbara Roberts have endorsed me. I'm the only candidate with a record of protecting Oregon's environment from uncontrolled development and pollution. And that's why I've been endorsed by the Oregon League of Conservation Voters and the Oregon Farm Bureau. And I'm the only candidate in the race with a record of protecting Oregonians' civil rights. And that's why I'm endorsed by NARAL Pro-Choice Oregon. I'd be honored to have your support, too. Thank you very much.
Mr. Kroger, your closing statement, please.
As a lawyer, it's important to get the facts right. So just note for the record, 77% of my donors are from Oregon. And yes, I have taken contributions from fellow prosecutors who prosecuted Enron. My mom, who lives in Texas, she's a donor. I'm still going to take money from my mom if she offers it. What does it mean to have a bad drug treatment system? What does that mean? The other day I was at a drug treatment center in Northeast Portland. The people who were there were children, 14, 15, 16 years old. They had meth, heroin, cocaine problems. Now you may ask yourself, okay, who exactly is it who's got a meth problem at age 15? The answer is very simple. It is not these children's fault. Their parents are addicts, their parents introduced them to drugs. The stories I heard when I was there were heartbreaking. 90% of the girls at that facility had been sexually abused in their home by their parents or by strangers coming to do drugs with their parents. When I walked through that facility, it made me cry. It was an incredibly powerful place, the first safe place these children ever had to go to bed at night, get up in the morning, and go to school. Now, here's what broke my heart. That facility turns children away all the time. They have children who want help for their problems. They have children who need help for their problems. But because we have one of the worst drug treatment systems in the country, we turn our backs on them. That's not just short-sighted. It's morally blind. As Attorney General, I'm going to work every day to tackle the biggest challenges our state faces: meth crisis, mortgage fraud crisis, the need for better environmental protection. Now, this is an incredibly ambitious agenda. And I want to be clear, these are hard things to do, and we may not succeed in every one of them. But I will tell you this. If I'm Attorney General, I'm going to get up every single day and work as hard as I can with every ounce of strength I have to make progress on these very important issues. And if you like what you heard today, and you help me get elected, that's exactly the kind of Attorney General you are going to get. Thank you very much.
I want to thank our moderator, Dr. Lee Pelton, our timekeeper, our panelists, everybody on the program committee, and members who helped fashion these questions. I think this is a wonderful process and a great forum that City Club provides. So I want to, again, put a plug in for anybody in this room that's not a member and believes in this kind of process and this kind of institution. Grab one of those City Club membership pamphlets on your table and consider joining. And lastly, I'd like to thank John Kroger and Greg McPherson. Many of us talk about public issues. Very few of us actually run. It takes personal commitment and courage to do it, and I think we ought to applaud both of them. Thank you very much. We're adjourned.